I read for our scripture reading this morning, story of Moses. I always tell people what I learned about the Bible. I think when we're young, about the age of the kids out there, is when we absorb the best. And I always thought in school they taught you less and less every year, and it was more and more review. But when I was a little kid in junior church, we learned about Moses and about his brother Aaron, and we learned about all the old Bible stories, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and all those stories, that all those little facts and details that I remember my whole life now. And it seemed like you remember so much when you're younger, and as you get older, it's more just going back over the facts over and over again. But I remember that story of Moses. We read just the first part of the story. It's a very familiar story. Moses, as most of us know, he grew up, and God chose him to be a great leader of the Israelites. He chose him to be the deliverer, the one that God used to lead the Israelites out of captivity. A lot of things happened. There was the Passover. He had the plagues, and that was always exciting in junior church. We had, the flies, and Dad talked about the frogs a couple weeks ago, and all those things that we don't see that today. We might hear about a locust eating a crop or something like that, but it was just miracles that happened, and it was amazing to hear about the Passover, the Red Sea. Moses must have had a pretty amazing story, because they made a lot of movies about it. But he was the man that God used to part the Red Sea. He also used him to close back the Red Sea and drown Pharaoh's armies. And like how Dad says, and people try to say that it wasn't really a miracle. They just walked through a puddle, and then it had to be a miracle sometime, because God used that puddle to drown a whole army. God used Moses, and Moses told the people about manna, food from heaven. That they had water from the rock. They had quail falling from heaven. Just that entire story. I remember we take weeks and learn about it. Just all of that God allowed Moses to be a part of. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and they caused people a lot of trouble today. But God gave him the Ten Commandments, and those were written in stone. God said, "I can't make it any more clear than this, but I'm going to use you are the man. You're the person I'm going to use to carry them down from the mountain." Moses was a pretty important person. But I like the beginning of the story. I always liked the creativity of his mother. Like I read already, it talked about how she heard the law, and the law said Pharaoh wanted every male child dead. It said that he tried to kill him. He said, we learned that Pharaoh commanded that every child that was male be born. It's in the chapter before that. It says, Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. I like the way that Moses' mother, Jochebed, did it. She actually tried to, I don't know, it was kind of like a thing I used to do with my parents. Like, you kind of obey what they say, but you also do what you want to do. She saved her child, but she actually saved him by putting him in the river in an ark. I like how the Bible's literal. It talks about the slime and the pitch, and it gets into the details of how she did it. Just that the fact that she thought of it, when probably so many other people, we wouldn't know what to do. We might obey the law. But that she saw that he was going to be something special. And the Bible talks about in Hebrews 11, people call it the Hall of Faith, or it talks about great people of great faith. It talks about Moses. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. How he came to years, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's another amazing part of Moses' life, was that he could have lived in Pharaoh's palace, but he followed God's will. A lot of us find it difficult to follow God's will when we don't really have a better option, but a lot of people would say, well, he had a better option. He should have just stayed with Pharaoh and been comfortable instead of going around with griping Israelites for 40 years. But Moses obeyed God. The part I want to focus on today was his mother. It is Mother's Day, and we all wouldn't be here without our mother. It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to forget, but it's an important part of our life. Moses had a great life, and he followed God, and he was obedient, and he had to be there. He had to be there at the burning bush. He had to follow God. He had to be there in front of Pharaoh with his rod, and with Aaron, with his brother. He had to obey God his whole life. But had his mother not followed, I think maybe God helped her with that idea, but had his mother not had the intuition and the creativity and the desperation to save her son, God would have had to use someone else. And I don't think about that often. I know in the adults lesson today, I was up with the kids. We were making all the noise up there. But they studied about Hannah and how she prayed for her son Samuel. And she prayed so much, and she was so fervent that the priest Eli thought she was drunk, and he tried to He was like one of those unruly people that you try to get the ushers to get out of church. And he was worried about her, but she was praying so hard that God would give her a son. And all she wanted that son for was so she could give it back to God, so he could be God's prophet. She not only got that promise from God, and so many times we promise God something and he gives it to us and then we fail to give back to him, but Hannah kept her promise to God. No matter how hard and how much she wanted that child, she gave it back to Eli. And I'm sure many times throughout Samuel's life, and he anointed kings, and he was there when Saul, when he told him obedience is better than sacrifice, he was mightily used of God. But I'm sure there's many times when Samuel said, "Thanks, Mom, I'm sure glad you prayed for me. I'm sure glad you kept your promise to God, and that I got to be raised in the temple and I got to serve God with my life." Another person we think about as a parent, of course, is Mary. We're not Catholic, we don't worship Mary, but God had to use someone. God had a human instrument he had to use to bring his son to earth. And if Mary had not met the qualification, had she not kept herself clean, had she not been a virgin, then God wouldn't have been able to use her, because Jesus was prophesied to be born of a virgin. And Mary, I think, had a lot of misunderstandings in her life. There are probably a lot of people that didn't understand what was going on with Mary, and they didn't believe her story that she was pregnant with God's son. But she was available for God to use her. A lot of things, Mary chose a good husband. She was still a sinner. I mean, she wasn't perfect, but God used her, and she did keep herself pure. And she put up with a lot of things that we wouldn't think about. Having Jesus for a son, I always had a teacher in college. I could never tell if he was serious or not, but he'd tell jokes. He'd say, Jesus had brothers, and they say, "All right, last one of the door is a rotten egg." And Jesus says, "No, before the door was, I am." And he'd always make jokes like that about Jesus. But the Bible talks about Jesus growing in knowledge and stature. So he did mature, and his influences, he had his parents. Mary was there. When Mary came back to the temple, after they had a mix-up, Mary and Joseph had a mix-up, and they each thought that the other one had Jesus, and they came back to the temple, and Jesus said, "Well, you know, knew you not that I'd be about my Father's work?" Mary, I'm sure, was more patient than most of us would be. You're like, "What are you doing, kid? We're on a trip." You never want to lose a kid on a trip, but I've only been on field trips or activities with other adults, and it's a big deal to lose somebody. But I'm sure Mary's very patient with someone she knew was very special. So all these are mothers, and I had somebody in their Sunday school class ask today, "Well, how come all these stories are about guys? Like, we're talking about Abraham and how Abraham had Isaac, and they never had a girl." I'm like, "Well, there are very important girls in the Bible, and they're called mothers, and there are there were judges that were women, but these are the most important people, I think, are the mothers." One more group I want to look at was Lois and Eunice, of course. Timothy's mother, he was a young man, he was called of God, and he was raised by his mother and his grandmother. They had a Christian household, they reared a child that was manly, and a young man that grew up to do great things. A lot of great men made powerful decisions when they were young. A man that writes a lot of our hymns, Isaac Watts, he was saved when he was 5 years old. Jonathan Edwards, he preached "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." He was actually more boring than I am. He'd stand up and read his entire sermon in a monologue, and people would come and be, just from the power of his words, people would come and be saved. But Jonathan Edwards, he was saved when he was 6 years old. Martin Luther, who was famous for fighting Catholicism, he nailed his thesis to the wall or to the door of a Catholic church, and he was 27 years old when he did that. A lot of young men that had a godly influence of a mother. A lot of all the Wesleys that write hymns, they had a very godly mother. They had many brothers and that were kept taken care of, but they were taken care of by a mother that loved them and that believed God had something special for them. So my sermon's in two parts. I guess I'd say we can look at these examples of mothers in the Bible. We can look at examples of godly mothers in this room, of our own mother, whether or not she'd be perfect in every way, but we can live by that example and live with a higher calling, only from God, but the fact that our parents cared enough for us to bring us to where we are in our lives. A lot of people know that it took me longer than 4 years to finish school. I put out my little testimony thing before you guys voted to call me, which I warned you in advance. I don't know what happened anyway. But it was about the fourth year through school, and I hadn't really made any progress for about a few months. I had a job that I probably shouldn't have had, that it was keeping me out. I would miss class and that type of thing, and I wasn't making progress, and my friends, the people I was hanging around, weren't the best, and they weren't really helping me with my spiritual walk, but I wasn't making much progress. And I said, I was praying, and a lot of times, sometimes I don't pray as much as I should, and I think that's true for all of us. We feel like a hypocrite because we don't want to talk to God and say, well, these are all the times I failed you. Now I need help. But I prayed to God, and I said, you know, this isn't going real well, not really like I planned. I thought I'd be done, and I thought I'd be proud enough and better than everybody else, but I'm having trouble here, and maybe you could give me a sign. Maybe you could say, you know, show me a vision from heaven or give me something to remind me of why I'm here at a Christian college studying to be in the ministry to serve you. And I was really discouraged. On our dorm floor, we had they were so far behind in technology, they just waited for people to figure out another way to get around. We had two telephones on the whole floor, and they were outside our room. And everybody pretty much had a cell phone, so they didn't need a phone in the room. But anyway, my room was right outside the phone, and the phone rang. And I answered it, and I said, Colston, whatever the dorm was. And the lady said she asked for David Lutz. Now, 24 years ago, our family went to Metro Baptist Church down in near Detroit in Ypsilanti. And the Lutzes were pretty much friends of my family, and we go over to their house, and like we'd get babysitted over there, and my mom and them would go out to Shipshawana or something. Anyway, David Lutz's mother's calling. And I said, I don't know, David's not here, but this is Adam Manning, and I'll tell her that you called. And she said, oh, Adam Manning. I was like, yeah, because I didn't even think she remembered me. But she said, yeah, I remember you. I remember your mom. I remember praying for your mom. We'd have prayer meetings. The doctor told her that you probably shouldn't be here. The doctor said that she already had a miscarriage. She was diabetic, and it was 20 years ago. And they told her to not have me, that it was not a good idea to have a baby, and if you get pregnant, you shouldn't have the baby, and that either you will be severely injured or die from trying to bring this kid in the world. And she said, Adam Manning, I remember you. We had special prayer meetings for you. We prayed for you, and we prayed for your mother. I remember counseling with your mother and talking with her about if you should go, you know, if you go through with it, what are the ramifications of the health of the mother over the child, and we were all so happy when you were born and you were healthy. And she's like, how are you doing now? I'm like, well, I'm doing pretty good. And that was a pretty good sign for me. A lot of times there's magical things that happen. We read in the Bible that how God appeared to Moses and how, you know, there were some pretty big days in Moses' life. There obviously were big days when Jesus had to fulfill prophecy and give himself for us, for our sins. But I think there were many days where maybe they were a little discouraged. I don't know if Jesus got discouraged. I know he did in the garden, but there might have been other days where he thought about his mom, where he thought about the fact that in each case that their mother made a special sacrifice. So that's what I'm asking each of us to do today. And for me, there was that day when I said, well, I even talked to my mom about it, and before that, and just said, thought about it, how important is my life? Well, it's as at least important as that. And I know each of us don't have a similar story, but our lives are important to God, and at some point in our life, there was someone who believed in you enough to pray for you and to fight for you and to protect you, just like Hannah did for Samuel, just like Jochebed did for Moses. And some of the stories are more exciting and more glamorous or more of a cliffhanger than others, but at some point in each of our lives, and in many, many times, it's our mother, that person that fought for us and protected us. One more story. I shared this also in my testimony, but when I got saved, it was a long ordeal. Like, I remember I was 4 years old. I was in a class, and they had told us that hell was hot and that sinners go there and that Jesus lived in heaven and he wanted you to go with him to heaven. And I remember praying a prayer, but I was confused about it all. I thought it had to be more complicated. And so I was 4 years old then, and later on, I had dealt with it some more, and I read in 1 John about if we confess our sin, he'll forgive us. But he also said that, you know, if we say we have no sin, then we're a liar. And I got really confused. So I think it was about 1991. My mom was doing laundry, and I went down to the basement, and I was still worried about it. I was still, you know, scared from all the Christian movies about the rapture and everything. And I talked to my mom, and we went through it all again. We went through the plan of salvation. And I understood sin. I think if anybody, one of the best ways to understand sin is to go talk to your mother for a while. And she said, well, you know you're a sinner, right? And I'm like, well, yeah, and if I don't, you do. But we understand that we're all sinners. All right, I got comedy in there again. We understand that if anyone knows, it's our mother. And for each of us, you might have no problem understanding that you're a sinner, but there might be some in here that say, I haven't done anything really that bad. You know, it's look at me compared to this guy. But the point of it is, all of us are sinners. I knew that there's a penalty for my sin. I knew that, and when I did wrong and my mother found out about it, which was all the time, I don't know how, but she still calls me and has psychic revelations about what's going on, but mother always knows. And that there's God is infinitely more powerful than mother, and he knows that when we sin, that he sees it and he has a penalty. If we get caught by a police officer, there's a penalty, but God always sees us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But then the next thing that my mom shared with me, and I'd heard it all before, but she told me that the gift of God is eternal life. That Jesus' mother Mary was available. Jesus was able to be born of Mary, and he came and he died for our sins. He lived a perfect life. He died for our sins. He paid what we owe. Just like if I have a bill that I owe, or if I get pulled over and I owe money on a ticket, if someone else pays that for me, that's what Jesus did for me. And my mother said, just like Christmas or Mother's Day or any time a gift is given, when we don't take that gift, it's still the giver's gift. It's not mine. I was joking with my mom. Once I started college, I'd send her flowers in the mail. And I ordered some for the Friday before Mother's Day. And somehow I got mixed up where they came the Friday after Mother's Day. So I called her on Sunday, and she didn't say anything about the flowers. So I thought, oh, okay. And then she called me like 5 days later. She's like, hey, I got your flowers. So my joke now is I always send her flowers late, and she knows they're coming sometime this week. But if the florist comes to the door and she doesn't take them, they're not hers. And that's how simple salvation is. If Christ offers it to us as a human being, that God made us this way with a free will, we can choose. We can choose where we go to eat today. We live in America. We have all kinds of choices, but God made us that way. He made us with liberty inside us, and he made us with that choice where we can choose to take his salvation or to not take it. And to refuse it is to accept the punishment, to say, no, I'll pay for it myself. I will die and go to that place called hell, and I'll try to pay my own sin debt if we don't accept what Christ did for us. And so in the basement there, what was that, like 15 years ago, I prayed and finally got it settled in my heart. I prayed to Jesus and said, I accept your gift, and I'm trusting you, and I put my trust in Christ. And that was a wonderful day with my mother. So my mom fought for me when I was a kid. I mean, she fought for me before I was born. And she disagreed with the doctors, and she prayed for me, and she always knew that I would do something special. More than anything else, just living up to the expectation of your parents. And that's a perfectly good, I say it's a guilty holiday, but it's a perfectly good guilt to have, to say they're, not only are all of you, you know, expecting something, I got a mom and a dad who put so much into me, they expect more out of me. And I think maybe it's not your own parents, but there are many people that have cared for you and got you to this point, and we each as Christians can say, there's a reason I'm here, and there's a reason I need to serve God with my life instead of doing wrong, instead of slacking off and not doing right. So I think if that's something you haven't done, if you've never, you know, realized your sin and asked Jesus to save you and put that faith in him 100%, once you're saved, you're always saved. If you've never done that, that would be a great thing to tell your mother you did. If no matter what your standing of your mother is, you know, if salvation is something you could get today and then take home and tell your mother about it, that'd be great. But if your mother's probably praying for you, then you could accept Christ, and that'd be a wonderful Mother's Day gift. But then a challenge to all the parents, all the mothers and fathers, and anyone that's responsible, I guess it'd be teachers, Sunday school teachers, responsible for a kid, fight for those kids. Protect them, of course. Teach them, you know, admonish them, but pray for them. And this is going to sound weird, but be a mom and dad to some of those kids, maybe who don't even either don't understand their parents or, you know, are away from them at this time, but intercede for them and talk to God about them. Pray for them. There are many great stories in the Bible. Like I talked about at the beginning, that learning about these great men is a wonderful thing, but all of these men had a mother. You can make it any more simple than that. They all had someone that cared for them and that raised them and that made them into the great people they were. So I challenge you today, if you're not saved, of course, any day is a great day to get saved, but Mother's Day would be a wonderful day to get it settled. And like I said, I had a lot of trouble with it, but go ahead and settle it. Just, it's as simple as what the Bible says, is that we're all sinners and that we can accept his gift. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him, if we believe in Christ and give ourselves and give our sins and ourselves to him and put it in his hands and trust him, he can take us to heaven. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And God is a lot like a mother. I mean, I know no matter what I could do, I could still go home and my mother would still love me. And God's that exact way. And maybe you are saved. Maybe you have made that decision, but maybe you're so far away from God right now. God is the most unconditional person, only his unconditional love. And no, you can't compare him to anybody else. I can't even compare him to a mother, but the closest thing I think is a mom or dad. They will take you back. And maybe that's what you need to do today. So like I said, I don't know how well the sermon is delivered, but if you take any part of it and just say, well, I need to appreciate my mother more. I need to reach out for those kids. I need to protect them. I need to pray for them. Or I need to realize that every great thing that's accomplished, there was a mom and dad, there was an adult, there was someone, a guide or a teacher that cared for that person, that made the difference in their life. And I heard it said that no one would go bad if they had one person that believed in them, but it has to be that they know that you believe in them. If you can convince them that they are important, that they do have something special to contribute to life. And that's why I challenge each of us today. I know it is Mother's Day, and I would say, call your mother. But go ahead and call your mother and tell her you appreciate her, and that maybe you can make this decision today. Maybe you can call her and tell her some very good news that you trusted Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for a patient people. Thank you for a word that anyone could stand up and preach, and it would have power. Just be with each of us today. Help us to be challenged by what we've heard, be challenged by what we've seen. Help each of us to realize that we are not self-made, that someone cares for us, someone is pulling for us and praying for us, and we can't let you down, we can't let them down. I pray if there's anyone here today that's unsaved, that hasn't made it sure, that hasn't got it straight in their own heart, that they're going to heaven when they die, that they're trusting you, that they wouldn't be ashamed, that they know that everyone here is praying for them, and that they would allow someone to show them from your word how they can know they're going to heaven. Be with us today. Be with the invitation. Just be with each part of this day. Help us to honor you in your name.